Hey, are you all ready to get this started?
Going live.
Listener discretion is advised.
Keep your head out there. They're going to do dumb. Play our game.
All right? Cool.
Play hard, but stay poised.
Three, gonna be savage. Two, grab your shit. One, do it.
Let's be great.
Cheers, Bears fans! This is Bears Are Alive with Phil Latoshin. I am Aldo Gandia, and thank you for joining us on this momentous day. Momentous because earlier today we had a special noon Bears Are Alive where we officially started our Trubisky Now campaign. We also unveiled our Trubisky Now mini movie. And if you haven't seen it, please check it out. It's on our Twitter page. It's on our YouTube page. You can go to YouTube and just type in Trubisky Now and the movie will pop up. You got to do that in two words, no hashtag. It's all over the website and we'll keep posting it all over as well. It's also a momentous day because Bears head coach John Fox conducted one of the most asinine news conferences a Chicago Bears head coach has ever had. And there have been some doozies if you've been following this team for a while. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, I want to apologize to our friends who really wanted to call in and join in on the discussion. We're still trying to work out some of the bugs with the call-in service for this website. So hopefully, we'll have that fixed next week. You have been sending in your tweets, so we will address those. But I have with us today, Phil and I have with us, a very special guest. He is, of course,
my man, the smartest man in the bar room,
Shane Marsaw. Shane, how you doing?
I'm living, Aldo. I had a pretty rough 48 hours. I tend to take this Chicago Bears thing kind of serious and tends to ruin my day more times than not. But I'm getting through it.
Yeah, it's like I said in the noon show, you know, everybody is on edge when we're going through something as catastrophic as this. And people think that, you know, I'm exaggerating this, but really a football team has so much to do with the psyche of a city and its fans. Some people may say that's unhealthy, but we all kind of need something to gather around and root for and cheer for in unison. And when what we're cheering for and what we devote so much time and love to isn't working, then, you know, it has an effect on us. Draft Dr. Phil, how you feeling after your Bravo performance on that noon show? You really killed it.
Still fired up. I think you put your heart and soul into things and you think you define who you are, especially with the outlet as very thorough as Bears Barroom is becoming with the film analysis and the shows. And unfortunately, this fan base continues to disappoint like a John Fox press conference, Aldo. It's hilarious to me that we're still comparing Mike Glennon to Jay Cutler as if there is a comparison. I have never seen it. So to me, I'm trying to hold faith that not only do we have a front office that's neglectful and negligent when it comes to quarterback position, we have a coaching staff that's negligent when it comes to the quarterback position, and we have a fan base that not only bludgeoned and ripped Jay Cutler out of town, they're afraid, Aldo, to put an NFL second overall pick, traded up to get him, face of the franchise, clear and far and away better talent in regards to the quarterback position than Mike Glennon, who has thrown 11 passes prior to what we've seen, the disaster that has been Mike Glennon. He got worse, not better, in his second game. And unfortunately for you, for some people, they're going to have to get beaten to a pulp in order to say no mas. And right now, I can't even fathom the thought that John Fox stood in front of the press and the beat writers who clearly were on their game today because they weren't letting it go. So obviously there's blood in the water, guys. It's not, you know, me talking about this, the first preseason game against the Broncos. It's clear to a football coach. It's clear to a Bears bar room analysis crew, PFF crew. It's very clear, but unfortunately to the coaching staff, it's not. So to me, I just, you know, we only have 14 of these games left in a season. And who knows how long you're going to be on this earth to continue to see this folly.
I know you're happen. Talking about me. The 59-year-old guy in the barroom.
I want to see Aldo next to me. Now, I've already gotten verbal permission from my wife. If the Bears are in the Super Bowl, I'm going to be wherever Shane and Aldo are going to be. Woo-hoo! To watch this game. We are going to watch it together because I want to celebrate. Yeah. Hopefully,
we're not going to tell. We're not going to tell them where we're going, are we, Aldo?
So, I mean, it's time, guys. It really is. I mean, I said it this afternoon in an epic rant. I'm just going to pull one little point out of this. You don't teach a kid to drive a car with a book. You get in the car and you drive it. To say that Mitchell Trubisky, Ohio's football Gatorade Player of the Year, could have went to any college he wanted to, chose to try to make a difference at UNC, got blackballed by a coach, then he played his game, his only shot with all of us, analysts, including Lauren Cox, Jose Cotto, was the fact that he had only 13 games under his belt. He comes into training camp, and I can eat crow. Aldo was on this show talking about it, and it's very clear that his accuracy and his passing power is so much better than Mike Glennon that to say this watered-down Pop Warner playbook that you are seeing is too difficult for him and that protections and we got to worry is hysterical to me as a football player, coach. It just makes no sense from anybody that I've talked to in the game of football that actually has played or coached it. All are saying Mike Glennon is a detriment to the learning curve of this young pup. Then he actually is a benefit.
I'm totally with you there, Phil. And I will, like I said before, I will gladly eat crow, you know, because I fell under that old paradigm that you don't draft a quarterback who's only had one season as a starter. Not in the first round, not in the with the second pick in the overall draft. You don't trade up for a guy like that. I was living under that old paradigm. And when I saw this guy play in the preseason, and I know it was against second and third stringers, but he was also playing alongside of second and third stringers, but that's not the point. What I saw was the most athletic quarterback I've ever seen the Chicago Bears have on the roster. What I saw was the most accurate passer that I've ever seen on the Chicago Bears, and I've seen a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, we're going back to the days of Jack Concannon, Bobby Douglas, Kent Nix. I saw all those motherfuckers throw balls over the heads of people. And what I saw with Trubisky was him on the run, full speed, defensive linemen who were very fast, unable to catch him, and this guy throwing it right there in the numbers. That, to me, tells me that this guy has the athletic skills that Mike Glennon has never even dreamed of having. Now, I want to get Shane in here because, Shane, since we don't have any phone calls, you really are the voice of a million fans. So
the smartest man in the room,
exactly,
right here.
So we don't have to worry about that because we do have the guy who is.
My man, the smartest man in the bar room.
And you're going to get sick of hearing that, Shane. I'm gonna make that your phone ring or something like that. Shane, what are your thoughts? You know, give us your lowdown on this whole quarterback situation. question. And then I want to get to a question right after that from Polarized, who asked this really great question. What's more important, hashtag Trubisky now or hashtag retire Fox? Or what I've been pushing around since last season, hashtag fire Fox. So, Shane, share some of your knowledge, please.
You know, guys, we're all so invested in this, and there's a lot of dramatics involved because we are so passionate about this team, and Phil put it really well when he says that there's only 16 of these every year, and that makes it so hard when you see a guy like Mike Glennon go out there, and you know, the people that are pro Glennon, you know, praised him for his fourth quarter against prevent defense, and yes, maybe he did show a slight positive sign, but it's just there's just no way. I see there's some back and forth with some of the people that we see quite often on Twitter, this debate that, you know, Trubisky's not ready, but the thing that nobody's talking about is his biggest flaw is what? The lack
playing
of experience.
Time.
Exactly. So at this point, you're just scrapping this young budding defense and saying, you know what? The margin for error with this team is so small, we're actually just going to try to win with our defense, and that's it, because we have an inept quarterback leading this offense. I can't see how you could watch that game yesterday and tell me with a straight face that Mitch Trubisky would be worse. You know, it goes beyond reason. Yes, there's going to be growing pains with Mitch Trubisky. There's going to be some times where you're like, what the hell was he doing, you know, there? But there's still an upside. With Mike Glennon, there is no upside. Mike Glennon is who he is right now. He's a quarterback that has no upside. And you're just, guys, listening to Fox today, that was a man just, you know, holding on.
Lying?
Yeah, lying and holding on to a greasy rope, just trying not to fall off. And nobody's going to tell me any different. You cannot tell me when your offensive line, Bobby Massey, is struggling, Kyle Long is hurt, you're taking your best offensive lineman and playing him at three different positions in one game. You know,
Shane, I heard that Whitehair might be lined up in the slot this week. That's what I'm
Yeah, absolutely. You may as well try him there, you know. At this point, we'll see if he can punt too. But no, it's just it defies logic. You know, when you have a young and I'm not saying anything right now, guys, that fans that follow us don't know. You have a struggling offense. Well, how can you counteract that? You get a young, it doesn't even have to be young. You get a mobile quarterback, and you can roll him out. Now, can you do that every down? No, you can't. But Mitch Trubisky has shown the ability to stay in the pocket. And, you know, we heard some people say that this Tampa Bay team just came out and utterly dominated the Chicago Bears yesterday. I wasn't impressed with Tampa Bay yesterday at all. At all. And that's not me being an admitted homer of the Chicago Bears, where I try to find every positive possible. But it's just Mike Glennon was problem number one, problem number two, and problem number three yesterday in my book.
Absolutely. It's,
and I just, I don't know anywhere, any other way to put it. This team has been so downtrodden, and Aldo, you put it good. You know, we can't draft a quarterback, you know, one that's experienced. It's because we've been so beaten down for so long. There's no hope. It's all about 1985. It's all about the monsters of the Midway. It's all about Dub Airs. Bring back Ditka. We're so beaten down as a fan base. You know why people are scared to play Mitch Trubisky? Because they're saying, this is Chicago's lore. We have a young quarterback that's showing promise, and we don't want to ruin it. We don't want to risk it, because while he's not playing, there's still that promise that he can be a superstar. People are holding on to that hope, and it makes no sense at all. You thought enough of this kid to trade up one goddamn spot in the NFL draft. That's, you made that commitment, and now, and he's your backup quarterback right now. You believed in him enough to say that you're one play away to take over for Mike Glennon, but Mike Glennon was supposed to be this veteran quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over, and he's turned the ball over in, what, 3 out of the 5 games that he's played, counting preseason? So if Mitch Trubisky is good enough to be one play away, how the hell is he not good enough to come in the second half and breathe some life into this offense? What do you have to lose? Yes, injury. And if it happens, it's horrible. There's no perfect time to put him in. But when the perfect time is now, to me. You're 2 games in. Let him get out there. Let him get his feet wet. And you know what, guys? If we lose, we were 3-13 last year. We're used to it.
Exactly.
But I'd rather lose with a young quarterback than I would with a 27-year-old journeyman in Mike Glennon, and that's exactly what he'll be. He's not a starter, Phil said today. He's a backup spot duty quarterback. That's what he is. It's time to put the kid in. Hashtag Trubisky now.
Phil, I mean,
you, Aldo.
Go ahead. But let me interrupt a second, because I got to get to this press conference. You know, I mean, this thing was it's hard to put into words what was coming out of Fox's mouth.
Tough to evaluate after 2 games, Aldo. It really is.
If you play the audio backwards on that press conference, I'm pretty sure it just keeps on saying, I'm a fucking idiot.
Well, and I got to tell you, it sounded at times like he was defending a decision that wasn't completely his, and that he was defending... defending Ryan Pace's decision. At one point, he said, "You know, I'm not the only one making this decision. You know, there's a lot of people evaluating this," and almost felt like, "Guys, can you hear? Can you read between the lines? You know, I'm not in complete charge of this." Anyway, I'm gonna play
Aldo. Go ahead. Before you go, you hit the point that my father said to me when once the head coach admitted that he's not in charge of who's playing that quarterback position, he's a failure. And he showed his cards. He showed his poker hand that he's not the only one who... You know what, John? Start telling the truth. This fan base, albeit there's a section of not the greatest fans, but there, you know, there's passion there. They're not the smartest in some sections.
Oh, you're going to get a lot of shit for
passion
that,
there.
Brother. Well, what's your Twitter address?
From what I see, I mean, I don't know how, as Shane said, I don't know how you're watching that game and don't think that Mike Glennon was pathetic. And one thing before you play the audio, just for Bears Hour Live, Bears 100 Proof Future, I want to run a contest. It just came to me when you were talking about, we're going to take one fan. Aldo, you can come up with how you want to do it. I want them to record every quarterback from 1990 all the way to now. That'll be a drop. They'll be on our show every now and then dropping. They'll just read off every quarterback that has been there as fast as you can.
Oh, you're saying every Chicago Bears quarterback?
Every Chicago Bears quarterback that has started a game. From Eric Kramer, Shane Matthews, how about Jim Miller talking about...
don't get me started on Jim
Miller.
Tom Brady almost threw 5 picks.
You know, some of the things that Jim Miller said yesterday, besides that one about Tom Brady and the 5 picks, I mean, made me realize that if you played the game of football, and even at the quarterback position, it doesn't necessarily mean that you know what you're talking about. I mean, if I had the opportunity to tell that to Jim Miller's face, I would phrase it by saying, just because you're fat doesn't mean you know what good food is. Because Because this guy, I mean, he sounds like a freaking idiot. Like a, oh gosh, I just don't get me started. I'm going to lose it. All right.
God. Now play John Fox. Put the syrup on the waffle here. Jimmy Miller.
All right, I got four Fox sound bites. Let's dissect this first one.
Well, he makes good decisions. He works tirelessly in preparation.
Oh, okay. He's talking about Glennon and why Glennon over Trubisky.
Well, I think, he makes good decisions. He works tirelessly in preparation. He works super hard. I think it's evident to his teammates. What you'd expect from a starting quarterback. You know, like I said before, it's his second game, preparing now for our third game.
He missed a golden opportunity right there when he said that, he makes good decisions, and then he coughed, because I was just waiting for him to say, well, he makes good decisions. Bullshit.
Shane, you're not kidding. I was going to say that. You know, it's a sign. I used to work in the prison. So when we would interrogate residents, one of the signs of a lie would be a cough thereafter. And that's why I was so I was emphasizing how clearly this guy was lying. He makes good decisions. One of the other things, Shane, was a great point that a coach texted me today. Halftime, he's talking to the reporter, and I was hoping we can get audio of it, but I didn't have time. And she comes on and says, "Well, I talked to Coach Fox in halftime going in, and I asked him what was the one thing they needed to do different. He said, I got three letters for you. INT. So you see, he's got to clean up the interceptions. Then all of a sudden, it's not. He became a whole power struggle movement to protect Mike Glennon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be honest what this is. If we asked about this last week, Aldo, and I became John Fox, and I asked, what if John Fox said this, how would you feel? And I believe you were like, that's exactly what I want to hear from my head coach. John Fox isn't the head coach for a young quarterback or this Bears team, but he's there now. So you can't have two evils, being a pathetic, completely inaccurate, ill-timed, scared, can't move in the pocket quarterback, and a head coach that's afraid to break his confidence. You can't have both of those. And that's what we have in Chicago, and that's why we have this show and this forum, because there are an enormous amount of smart fans out there that are on the Trubisky Now bandwagon. It's just disappointing to see the other side of this, what we call it, Shane, just negligence in the fan base to supporting Mike Glennon's play? Like, any of us want to see Mike Glennon fail? If Mike Glennon was balling out, there would be no words from me or anybody on the show otherwise. But right now, you're seeing three moving parts: dysfunction from the front office, the head coach, and terrible play from the quarterback. And I think Jordan Howard is letting his emotions show just how frustrated he is with his coaching staff and the quarterback.
Shane, I want to throw this to you before I get to the next soundbite from the Fox conference. Wade Anderson, who always asks good questions and has great tweets, he asked a question: is Trubisky Now, is that enough to make this team competitive? And I think that's a great question. I mean, go ahead. Give me your opinion on that. Is Trubisky not good enough now to make the team competitive?
Well, I think Mike Glennon set the bar so low at this point that he doesn't. I mean, let's be honest. Mike Glennon didn't have a great game versus Atlanta.
Right.
We still had a chance there. Yes, he made some passes in the fourth quarter that got us down there, and then some players didn't come through for him in the end. But it's why isn't the running game cranked up? Well, it's not that hard to figure out, guys. everybody's going to just stack the box. I'm not telling you anything that we don't know. Everybody's going to stack the box, and they're going to say, all right, Mike Glennon, you are going to have to beat us with your horizontal offense. And that's exactly what this is. And, of course, Trubisky's got he's got better arm talent. He's got much better mobility.
I wish we had a ding sound for these.
Yeah, he progresses through his reads better.
Ding!
And that right there is going to stress a defense to a certain point, more so than Mike Glennon can. Yes, maybe Mike Glennon is better pre-snap. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You don't win the games pre-snap. You got to have the ability to stress a defense with your arm. Look at that pick six yesterday. And then he essentially threw Josh Bellamy under the bus on the pick six. Well, I thought he had the nickel turned around there, and I thought he would beat his guy, but I guess I was wrong. This is a 27-year-old quarterback and this is another thing. We need to sit Mitch Trubisky on the bench more, because it's certainly paid off for Mike Glennon the last few years, right?
I mean, he's exactly what I tweeted.
Better. Yeah, Mike Glennon got better in, Never Never Land by not playing. I mean, Ryan Pace bought into that a little bit of hype, trying to catch lightning in a bottle that he could potentially flip him. And Ryan Pace is going to have to live with that decision. He obviously, that part of it's not going to pay off. But, of course, Mitch Trubisky, just his attributes alone. Yes, there's going to be growing pains, like I said, but that doesn't matter. I mean, so we're not seeing growing pains or a lack of ability with Mike Glennon. We just got boat raced by the Tampa Bay Bucks, who, in my mind, didn't play well yesterday.
The quarterback was awful. We had opportunities. We're driving. He forces a ball. You have Adam Shaheen wide open. He ends up forcing it into a tight end, causing a turnover. That you have to be perfect with Mike Glennon, and that's a detriment. The running game, the offensive line, as Shane is talking about, stacking the box, all of a sudden, as I said today on my rant this afternoon, a mobile quarterback alleviates the box. He makes angles for your offensive linemen. He's allowing Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen to run the football and establish the running game. And to sit here and say you play football or you have played and you're afraid of a tough schedule. Guess what? The freaking Saints game is tough. The 49ers game is tough. They're all tough. This isn't, East Carolina. This is the NFL. This isn't going Alabama going to play Alabama State as a bye week for themselves. This is the NFL. You can't bubble wrap talent. How do you predict and project that Mitchell Trubisky wouldn't have been successful in that game? His athleticism and his ability to extend plays alone tell me, as a football coach, that you're going to see a more successful offense and less time for your defense on the football field. His throwing accuracy, as Aldo said, the best he's ever seen. I'm right there with him. I was a Deshaun Watson guy, 100% picked Deshaun at 3, call it a day. They made their analysis when I saw this kid in the preseason throwing these balls in front of receivers, allowing them to throw. Didn't matter who he's playing against. It's accuracy, the one trait that can't be taught. It just is a natural. As Shane pointed out eloquently, that moment you knew Devin Hester was on the football field and there was electric. This game isn't big enough for him. This game is him. And I so understood that moment. I was blown away, as I said on the show. So to then really see that bookmark and totally forget where you are in the book and what page you're on is typical John Fox. And that's sad. So all these hypothetical Miss Cleo crystal ballers. Well, last year in Tampa, you know, Jay Cutler threw a pick, so Mike Glennon could throw a pick. What? Every game is different, guys. Every single solitary game. Mike Glennon standing next to Mitchell Trubisky, just with his pads off, Aldo, in a gym class. Mike Glennon, unless we're playing basketball, is going to be the last person picked in any goddamn sport we play. And he's your starting quarterback. He's out there on the football field for all to see, and he's handicapping the offense. And for you to tell me that the head coach said this, Aldo, well, Mike Glennon's learning too. Mike Glennon is out there 2 weeks in our offense. And again, just protecting Mike Glennon. Know what, coach? Play the best. The best is how you win. Don't protect Mitch Trubisky. He's a football player. He's got to go out there and make plays. If he was a baby who couldn't do what he, what part of his game is being mobile and booting out there, stressing that end. You know how much more you could do with this offense with Mitchell Trubisky than what you can do with Mike Glennon? Just the freeze and the read option alone with a Tariq Cohen being the pitch and Jordan Howard being the mesh point give, reading that outside backer, pull it, pitch it. Now all of a sudden you're throwing downfield. You can put together packages to make this guy be successful. There is no way down 17-0 running toss is not a reflection on the quarterback. I've yet to ever see Tom Brady down 17 or a Josh McCown down 17, for God's sake, running student body left with a fullback. That's on Mike Glennon.
You didn't see it last year with Carson Wentz.
Exactly, you know what I mean? Shane. It's the disgusting. Whole
point. And let's not forget, and anybody that follows me know that I'm a noted Philadelphia Eagles hater, but can you guys name the wide receivers for the Philadelphia Eagles last year?
I got one, that kid Matthews.
Yeah, Matthews and like Nelson Aguilar. Mm-hmm. So and you see, not that Wentz played. You know, I know ESPN tried to erect a statue of him the first 4 weeks, but I think he finished with 16 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, and he had a bunch of fumbles. But, you know, originally he wasn't slated to play until, you know, everything unfolded in Minnesota and they shipped Bradford there for a first rounder. And do you think that the Philadelphia Eagles right now in this season regret putting the quarterback that they thought needed some time on the bench? Do you think that they regret those 16 games that he got last year? They absolutely don't. They're worth their weight in gold at this point. He got that entire year of experience. And it's
Aldo and Shane,
hard to put to words.
A bust is a bust. Am I right? You know
you're absolutely
a bust.
Right.
Mitch Trubisky is Philipotent yelling and screaming with Aldo Gandia about Trubisky now. It's Shane Marsaw screaming about it. It's friends of the show screaming about it. It's people from opposing teams laughing. You think opponents throwing bouquets of roses at Mike Glennon was because they want to support Mike? They want to play Mike because Mike, they know. And he's not good. And we're going to win and destroy him. And that's exactly what happened. They knew Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon is absurd that we're even having a debate about this. But we have a coach lying to a fan base.
John,
and he continues to do that.
John Fox is a bust. And this is one of the reasons why. This was his response to the question, why not throw Mitch Trubisky in the fourth quarter and give him some playing time?
You know, what I'd remind everybody is that we have our starting quarterback is two games as a Bear, and at the point you're probably talking about is maybe the fourth quarter of that game. You know, all those things are going to be important for him moving forward, too. I wish we could play two quarterbacks at once, but I don't know that that would be our best options.
That is just fucking stupid.
Well, John Fox will have his quarterback next year in the flag league that he's coaching in, and Mike Glennon.
but that's an indication, too, of maybe he is telegraphing to the media and the fans that when he says, I wish I could have two quarterbacks starting, is I want Trubisky to start, too. Maybe that's what he's trying to say. But either way, I mean, you know, if I'm in a situation like that where the general manager is saying you cannot make the quarterbacking decision, you know what I'm going to say? I quit. You know what? Or I quit, or I'm going to make your job and your reputation as a general manager, I'm going to drag it through the dirt. You know, that just pisses me off.
Because if it keeps playing out the way that it's playing out, he's going to get fired anyway.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I honestly think that he is the one making the decision. This is typical John Fox. This is stubborn John Fox. This is the lying Fox, faux Fox. Wherever we're going to fire Fox, all of the Fox, they all Gaylord Fockers. All of them.
I can't argue with that. All right, this
John, I believe, though, Aldo, that he is the – I think Ryan Pace is ready for Mitchell Trubisky. Otherwise, don't you start to question him?
Exactly. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. Now, this was Fox on Mitch Trubisky and his status.
You know, I love where he is. I love his growth. You know, I think the guy works at it very hard. He's into it on game day. You know, he's into it because you're one play away from being a starter like any backup. It doesn't matter the position. You know, you have to prepare like, you know, you're one play away. So I like where he is, and I like his development.
Yeah, he likes his development. So it's like what Shane was saying. So he's good enough that you like him, but he's not good enough for you to throw him out there for a few downs and let him get some experience in a blowout game at Tampa Bay.
Let me say this, Aldo, to that point. What happens if he went in the game and started to light it up? Now they got a problem on their hands because now they have to deal with what they're going to do, and they don't want to do that because the right thing would have been to put younger players in. Shaheen, all these younger players should have been in the game playing. You saw Gentry, that's it. I don't remember anybody else going into the football.
Yeah, Gentry had. There were a few young guys in there, but yeah, it's a point well taken that, you know, what are you doing? Are you in development mode? Because, you know, you're not treating this operation like you are. Are you trying to win this season? Well, you're still not treating this operation like you are with player personnel decisions. So it's a mess. And the apologists out there, the people who are coming up with bullshit, especially those in the media, is just driving me nuts. Shane sent me this clip from NFL Network where Heath Evans, who we all know and love here at the Barroom, and a bunch of other idiots are making excuses for John Fox. And so I heard it, and I had to go in and put some sound effects to some of their comments. Here's the track. It runs about 2 minutes.
I'm not so sure Trubisky would have made a difference versus this defense yesterday. They were on fire.
What?
This is the real NFL fire. This isn't preseason. This isn't twos and threes in the preseason. It's preseason that didn't make NFL rosters. And for those that are crying for this young quarterback to get thrown into this fire now, I promise you he's not ready.
You're a fucking idiot.
And it's the classic debate. On one hand, you say, well, he's going to be our quarterback of the future anyway. We're not going to win this year. Let's throw him out there. It'll help his development. But sometimes it can stunt your development. And we've seen quarterbacks like David Carr, I think would tell you, our David Carr, that it wasn't great for him to get sacked 76 times, still an NFL record, his first year with a bad scheme with the Texans. So I understand why John Fox would be a little hesitant to just throw Mitchell Trubisky out there.
Well, and John Fox is coaching for his coaching career there in Chicago. So.
God, please, no! 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 No!
If you put Mitch Trubisky in, you all of a sudden you're clicking the rebuilding switch, okay? They don't seem ready to commit to saying that right now, even though you look at the turnover in their roster, the players they got rid of this year, it does look like they're in rebuilding mode right now. Keep in mind, John Fox is a guy who went to a Super Bowl with Jake Delhomme.
I can handle things! I'm smart!
And that's still in his memory. I don't necessarily need a quarterback to be great right now as long as the pieces around him can develop.
Went to one with Peyton Manning.
But at the same time, at some point, Mitch Trubisky's going to be the starter. I think I look at the schedule, Heath. I just don't think they want to put him in that gauntlet right now.
Well, there's a recipe for grooming a young quarterback. I mean, Seattle did it. Coach Harbaugh did it with the Niners, with these young gun, fun quarterbacks that are athletic. You better have one of the best run games in football. You better have a great O-line, and you better be able to play some defense. Otherwise, Cap and Russ would not have been Cap and Russ at that age.
And adapt your scheme to make it more friendly to a quarterback.
Very much so.
Like that. Early.
Very much so.
Now that makes no damn sense.
Go ahead, Shane. Jump in here.
You got your nitro tablets in case your heart explodes, Aldo.
It's close, I'm telling you.
He, like, described the Bears' offensive line and their defense and their running game, who has a Pro Bowl running back, by the way.
Yeah.
So,
well, thanks. I got it.
Go ahead, Shane.
Yeah. Well, actually, I got to, believe it or not, I got to give Heath Evans a little bit of credit because he didn't make the dumbest fucking statement in that segment.
That's true.
It was Steve Wyche. If you insert Mitchell Trubisky, you're clicking the button on saying, we're in rebuild mode. We just won 3 fucking games, you moron. Everybody knows the Bears have been in rebuild mode. This isn't breaking news. And Heath Evans saying that there's a recipe to grooming a quarterback.
That was the worst comments, Jake.
And then he pointed out Russell Wilson.
Russell started right away, by the way, Heath. Thanks. Have a good day.
Fantastic, and Colin Kaepernick, that recipe worked fantastic for a couple of years. I don't know, maybe they ended up leaving him in the oven a little bit too long because that recipe seems to be all fucked up. He's not even in the league right now, and that's a story for a whole another day. But Heath Evans is doubling down on his bullshit from draft day. We went through all of this stuff before, saying, you know, he essentially called Mitchell Trubisky a con man. And all of this is deriving from when he sat down with John Gruden, when he looked overmatched. You know, he seemed totally out of his element. And anybody that has watched him since in press conferences, you know, and different things on TV, the kid owns the room when he goes when he's in a press conference. He's joking around with the media. You know, he's smiling and stuff like that. It's totally different than even Mike Glennon. I said, Jesus Christ, Mike Glennon threw 2 interceptions yesterday, and the first thing that happens is his face turns red because he gets embarrassed and he's walking off the sideline. It's embarrassing.
But, I think he technically threw 3, but I don't know how. Yeah. Was it a fumble? Yeah. It never hit the ground. I don't know what
exactly.
That was.
Yeah, it should have been an interception. Yeah, you're right. But this is just, you know, these quote-unquote experts moved on from their Jay Cutler narrative, and now they're pulling the stuff out of their ass. You know, Mike Silver said, well, you know, we don't want him to become the next David Carr that got sacked 76 times. Well, first off, we do have a better offensive line than Houston Texans did. They had a historically bad offensive line. But in the same breath, hey, Mike Silver, maybe he's gonna become the next Derek Carr, but don't throw that out there, you know.
That's the point.
That's gonna blow your fucking narrative out of the water, and there's no goddamn recipe for a young quarterback. Some of them have sat, some of them have come in and played. It's the situation, but you know what? None of these quarterbacks that have made strides have sat behind a guy like Mike Glennon playing the way that he's playing. I'm sorry. You can't tell me that the Bears are going to be a worse team by putting Mitchell Trubisky out there. You have something wrong in your head if you believe that, and there's many people I know, our friend of the show, Mike Brez, has been doubling down on saying that we got to wait until Mitch Trubisky is ready. Well, when's that going to be? I mean, is it, you know, chapter 4, you know, episode 3? Is that what the blueprint says? Nobody knows that. We're 0-2 at this point. We're staring 0-3 in the face. Very likely 0-4 if Mike Glennon is the starting quarterback. Give this fan base some goddamn hope. Give your inept wide receiver core a chance. They're not beating their guys off the line on press coverage. Well, what's the best thing that you can do for that? Put a mobile quarterback out there that can run around and buy some time and make some plays downfield. The next thing in that progress is, yes, Josh Bellamy and Deontay Thompson and these other guys have to catch the football. But right now, you're hamstringing your entire football team, offense and defense, by keeping Mike Glennon out there. You give yourself no shot. I'm the biggest Chicago Bears optimist on the planet, and I would not bet a nickel on the Chicago Bears this week with just because of Mike Glennon against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's comedy. The Benny Hill show of quarterbacks over here. So I have to say and agree with Shane here. And this show, we fight for the truth. I will never kowtow to anybody. Nobody is smarter than me, and that's how I roll. And I'll believe that till the day I die when it comes to football. Math, any other things, you guys are smart and 100% believe in you. But when it comes to this game and this team, I will put myself in the arena like a gladiator with anybody because I know what this team is and who is coaching and what talent there has been versus what we're seeing now. And I'm completely in agreement with a guy that I respect, known as the smartest man in the room. This Mike Glennon is a handicap. There is no single solitary blueprint formula that's one of these PFF guys, Lauren Cox, could come up with, and when's the right time and who's the right opponent. A guy steps up in the pocket and delivers a pass and completes it 30 yards down the field to a tight end, and all of a sudden he believes in himself. This is a mental game, 80% of it. Mike Glennon lost the battle with the mental part. You could see he's scared. He's afraid to make a mistake. We've seen this before in quarterback play. Jay Cutler, for everything negative he had, he did not give two shits. He didn't throw anybody under the bus. He got up after time, and he delivered. When I look at this kid, Trubisky, as Aldo said, I agree. The best-looking athlete I've witnessed live playing the quarterback position in Chicago with accuracy, timing, anticipation throws. The kid feels it. To listen to a coach lie to a fan base, to listen to fans try to make up excuses and tell me when the right time is, there is no time but now. Because now is when you could change your season. Now is when your team can believe in the process. You're asking Ted Phillips to tell us believe in the plan. You're Ryan Pace standing up there laughing, believe in the plan. The plan should have been thrown out once you decided that Mike Glennon was the bridge, and he failed. He failed in preseason. He's failed against Atlanta. He failed miserably against Tampa, and stats always lie. They always lie. So all you stat scouts out there throwing, he threw for 300 yards, though, guys. I mean, look at that. What? At the end of the day, what does that mean? It means absolutely turd shit.
Mike Brez,
shut out.
Mike Brez, are you listening? Because I think that was directed at you. We've got
reality.
The reality is, go ahead, Phil. Finish your thought. I want to get to some of these tweets.
The reality is, until there's a change, as using Ryan Pace's voice here, at the most important position in all of sports, this Chicago Bears football team over by the water cooler are saying, this fucking guy sucks. This guy can't do it. I don't believe in this guy. And if you think that he's the leader and he's the teacher, Mark Sanchez and Mike Glennon are teaching Mitchell Trubisky anything but the playbook, you're fooling yourself. because it's Trubisky now time. The hashtag is out there, started by my man, the godfather of the Bears, Aldo Gondia. Trubisky now. F what you heard. It doesn't matter. There's nothing personal here. There really isn't. I'm going to call you out. Shane is looking and searching. I've been helping scout. We got scouts everywhere for the dumbest tweets of the week. There are so many entries into this vault of tweets. I feel bad for Shane that he's only got to pick two, and then to try to find a smart tweet, you might as well use your own, Shane, because it's going to be a long week. So,
you know what this comes down to, guys, just to kind of break it down in layman's terms and make it really, really simple. We love this team, and we live and die by this team. And the reason that we're all down in the dumps right now is because the quarterback is the most important position in all of sports. We don't believe in our quarterback, and this is what ended up killing Jay Cutler. He was the biggest tease. He had all of the talent in the world, and it was always, well, we have to do this, we have to do this. He's going to change this year. I was a big Jay Cutler fan. Jay had all the talent in the world. It didn't work out, so now we're on the Mike Lennon. We're trotting him out there, and we as fans don't believe in him. We can see it with our own eyes. So what does that mean? If we don't believe in him, are you telling me, yes, you listen to a guy like Kendall Wright saying, you know, Mike's our guy. You know, Rex is our quarterback. That's just a bunch of bullshit. If we don't believe in Mike Glennon, are you telling me that these professional athletes in their heart of hearts believe that Mike Glennon is the guy? Are you telling me that they didn't see that hype train that Mitchell Trubisky set in motion during the preseason? Well, there's no way.
I gotta tell you, excuse me for interrupting, but after listening to Jim Miller and Heath Evans, there might be some other concussed guys on this Bears team who believe that stuff. I mean, I just don't know what to say anymore. You know, seeing is believing, but you can't account for what some people are seeing. I don't, like Phil has said over and over again on this show and in past shows, you watch Mike Glennon out there and you can't possibly believe that this guy is starting quarterback material. It's just not. He'd make a serviceable backup for a couple of games to get you through when your number one quarterback is ready to go again. But other than that, please, it's just not going to happen. All right, we've got about 7 minutes left, so we've got lots of great questions. What we'll do is we'll hold off most of them until, or all of them really, except one that I want to get to, until tomorrow when we tape Bears 100 Proof. But I got to respond, and I want us all to respond to George at the George U. He asked, my question is this. People are scared to play Trubisky. They think it'll ruin him. It didn't ruin Derek Carr. The truth is that if you can play, you can play. If a bit of adversity ruins your career, then you were never the guy for the job. Agree or disagree? I, of course, agree, right? I mean, if you don't have the balls, if you don't have the mental makeup to deal with some adversity as an NFL quarterback, then yeah, you just don't belong. And to coddle somebody, and I love the way Phil put it, to bubble wrap somebody, that's your number one quarterback, it's ridiculous. And the fact of the matter is that this guy has the athletic skills that are the answer to the Bears' problems. It's that fucking simple. Hashtag Trubisky now.
But he might get hurt, Aldo. We can't put him
Aldo.
Out there. It's the NFL.
Aldo.
He might get hurt.
If Jim Harbaugh was the head coach of the Chicago Bears and he came into this situation, Ryan Pace got Mike Glennon and then he drafted Trubisky with Harbaugh, there is a zero chance, 0.0 chance that Mike Glennon is starting next week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. if that was there, oh, we're going to give him two games and we're going to see Mike Glenn. I guarantee opening day, Mitchell Trubisky would have been in. That's the difference. The head coach understands winning is the most important thing, to not lose the locker room, not separate the team, defense versus offense, and to ultimately recognize that to move this train forward, we got to win. This team has been 0-2. How many times in the last 5 years, 0-2? There's never been a team worse than this. They've won 9 games with this administration. Lovie Smith was fired at 10-6. This guy's won 9 games in 3 years. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind what you just said, Aldo, is 100% true. Mitchell Trubisky is the round circle fitting in the round hole. Mike Glennon is the square peg that you tried. You got to admit you're wrong and move on and allow this young kid to learn on the job where it's best to do so. This isn't an expansion franchise that threw a bunch of guys together and had to protect their first overall pick. This is a formidable offensive line with a great running back, a rookie explosive running back, some tight ends, and a chance to move the football like that with a wide receiver core that has shown that they can get open. They got to catch the ball now, but they can get open. So, you know, the personnel decisions are a whole nother show at that position. But the reality is, clear as day, a smart head coach, an offensive-minded coach, a coach that winning was the most important thing would have Trubisky, hashtag Trubisky now, out there. We got to freaking stand together, fans. Unite with us. Keep it going. The hashtag, we're going to keep it going here. Bears Hour Live and Bears 100 Proof Wednesday.
Shane, you're our special guest tonight. I know you're going to be with us for tomorrow's taping of Bears 100 Proof, but I want you to have the last word tonight on Bears Hour Live. Why don't you wrap up the thoughts of a million Chicago Bears fans, because you are the voice for all the people who want to call in but can't because our goddamn phone lines. Go ahead, Shane.
Mike Glennon is our quarterback. he's not.
My he's not man, mine. The smartest man in the bar room.
Sorry.
So all I would say is, if you want to believe I'm the smartest man, which I think everybody knows it's probably pretty much true at this point, but I said from the beginning I expect this to be a 4-game audition for Mike Glennon. We're 2 games in. I kind of backed off it a little bit after this last game, saying that, you know, I think things could change after Pittsburgh, and what better place to unveil your new toy than against your longtime hated rivals, the Green Bay Packers. So I think this could be the beginning of the end for Mike Glennon right here. I'm not expecting good things from him again this weekend at, versus Pittsburgh at Soldier Field, but hopefully it's, hey, hashtag Trubisky now. It's not going to be Trubisky right now, but hopefully it's hashtag Trubisky next week. We'll roll with that. That'll make, I think, a lot of Bears fans happy, and we'll breathe some confidence into this fan base where it's sorely needed.
We've got so much to talk about. I mean, Phil and I were actually talking about doing another Bears Hour Live, like noon special, and doing these live hits more often during the day, because there's just so many topics to talk about. And I got to tell you, somebody at WSCR Radio made a really good point, and I don't really listen much to WSCR anymore because a lot of the people over there really are idiots that they have on the air. But one guy, Jason Goff, I think it was, said, you know, so you're saving Trubisky for when? Later in the season when everybody's banged up, more players are injured? So you want to see him perform with a team that's going to be even more decimated than it is now? It's a damn good point. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Don't forget Bears 100 Proof on Wednesday.
I'm going to play the theme music, guys, and say goodbye to everybody. Let's talk over it and just tell everybody, thank you very much for listening to Bears Hour Live. We really appreciate your support. Please send me your pictures of you showing the gesture, Trubisky. Now hold your hands out to either side, to each side, forming a T. Send a picture. I'll hashtag it, Trubisky. Now send it out. Let's make this viral. Let's let the Bears management know that we're fed up. We're not gonna take this anymore. This is bullshit. I mean, this is so effing obvious. If Ryan Pace is trying to save his job by bubble wrapping Trubisky, then he's not saving his job. He's just doing a worse job. Guys, you know, I love you. Thanks this opportunity to share thoughts with you.
Another great show in the books, Aldo. We're going to get some contests going. I want to find that person to read off the quarterbacks. Let me know who you are.
Please.
give us a call, El Jefe.